There's a big problem in the 9 days, and that is that people don't know how to digest them. And I don't mean just because it's milchiks. I mean because, you know, all year we're living our lives. All of a sudden, 9 days, I want to tell you a cool story. Where I went to camp, I went to Yeshivish camp. I went to Camp Monk. Anybody here at Camp Monk?
Of course.
I got thrown out of Camp Monk. You want to know why?
Yeah.
I went to MTA. So that gives you a sense of, you know, how firm it was. So the next camp I went to was also the Yeshivish camp. But I don't want to give the name because you'll hear the story. The goal of the director of that camp was to surprise everyone when he broke out color war. His whole life, his whole value in this world hinged on him being able to surprise us with color war. This is his whole life. I remember one summer we went on an overnight and the rangers came out and they said, they're bears, you have to go home. They really were, we had to go home. Fine. A couple days later, the director's talking, you know, in the dining room, what to do if you see a bear. And all of a sudden we look out the window and there's a bear. It's a counselor and a bear person. Everyone's like, oh, color war is stupid. All of a sudden the janitor goes out with a shotgun. The director goes running out, no, it's not a bear. Shoots the bear, who falls down, the head falls off, you see it's his counselor, there's blood all over the place. Everyone's like, an ambulance comes in, wheels the guy off, you know, rolls the guy out, etc. We're all like stunned. The director goes, everyone down to the shul, we had a daven until we go down to the shul, he starts, Shira Malois, I fooled you all again, it's color war. And we're like, is he dead? Is he not dead? These sick people, you understand what I'm trying to say? Sick people. So the year after, how can you top the bear thing? The year after, he broke out color war. On a day, everyone knew you're not going to break out color war. Erev Tisha B'Av. We were all surprised. Now, the color war wasn't on Tisha B'Av. It was going to be after Tisha B'Av. What did everyone do all Tisha B'Av? Clear the Chakiris. You guys remember before you went to Haskell or regular camp, you know what I'm saying? Who was playing third base in the game? Who's going to do the art if you're a girl camp, you know, the music, whatever, right? So I remember, we all go to shul, and we're all sitting on the floor, we went through the motions, you know all the hak, right? You sit on the floor, you cry, right? And then everyone left shul and started planning color war. And it just struck me that it was all fake. The whole thing was a charade. So I went to a payphone, a lover show, and I called up. I called my parents. Mom, how you doing? All this is fake. It's all a charade. What's going on? Breaking out of the Truman Show, right? What happened? What's wrong? I said, I'm sitting here, this Tisha B'Av, nobody really wants Yerushalayim, nobody wants the Gula, nobody wants anything, it's all fake. And that was the first time I was post-11th grade where I started to realize that this whole issue of the 9 days, we have to learn how to digest it. And that's what the Shir is about. If you take a look at the first Siman in the Shulchan Aruch, not the second one, the first one. It's appropriate for every Yerei Shamayim to be in pain. Pain! I'm quoting Clubber Lang. You guys holding Rocky III or it's before your time? One of the great lines in movie history. They ask Clubber Lang, what's your prediction for the fight? What does he say? Pain. Oh, it's a big lesson for people who want to grow. The Fum Tzara Agra. You have to know there's going to be pain. But that's how you grow. Sheyeh Meitzer Vidoeg. What does Vidoeg mean?
Worried.
People should be worried about the fact that there's a Churban. It says something about where we are, where we aren't. The Mishnah Berurah, Siman Aleph, writes, Kasav Shalosh, Shebechol Sudi Yomer Al Naros Bavel. Any Sudi you eat when you bench, you're supposed to say Al Naros Bavel. When? The 9 days, the 3 weeks? When? All year round. People don't do this. You have to think about it. Consciousness. He ends this piece, Vehaikr, Shiyeda Makaomer. Ikr is that a person should know what he's saying. It's true for anything we say, for sure what we daven. Vehachar Kavanas Alev Hinatarim. What are we thinking about? So our relationship with Yerushalayim needs to begin with learning this Mizmar. That's what it says, the Shalom. Let's learn the Mizmar. Al Naros Bavel. Only one of the 150 Mizmari Tehillim that's connected to a particular place. Al Naros Bavel. Shom Yashabnu, there we sat down. Gam Bachinu, we also cried. Maybe it's the first time we sat down after being sent into Gullus. We were rushing and running and going. We sit down and we're crying. Bizachreinu Estzion. We're remembering Yerushalayim. This phrase, Zechir Ashtion, is the theme of the Mizmar. If you look in Pasuk Vav, which is the end of the description of our Zechira, it says there, Tidbak Lishoni Lechiki Imlo Ezkerechi. The next Pasuk Zayin, begins three Pesukim where we turn to Hashem and ask Him to take revenge, and it begins with this word again, Zechor Hashem Levnei Edom. We have a right to ask Hashem to remember if we remember. So we're sitting there on those rivers. We're crying and remembering Tzion. Remembering the place we just left. Pasuk Beis continues Pasuk Aleph with the Al. Al Aravim Bitocha Talinu Kinoroseinu. We hung our harps on the reeds in the river. What's the significance of hanging our harps on the reeds? Anyone? What's the significance? Harps come from reeds. We're putting them back where they came from. We're hanging up our harps, like hanging up your cleats, right? We're not going to play music anymore. Key, now we get what we were responding to. First we hear the response, now we have key. Shem she'elunu shovenu divrei shir v'tololenu simcha shiru lan mizir tzion, the alliteration of the shins. Our captors asked us to sing. Sing the songs of Tzion. Make happy for us. Tololenu simcha, the only place in Tanakh where the word tololenu appears. I think it's connected to the word talinu. Make happy, we hang up our hearts, our harps. And you know what? Maybe they're sticking it to us. Ah, sing your Tzion songs. Maybe they're just innocuous, you know. Sing songs. Sing the songs you know. And what was our response, Pasuk Dalet? Eich nashir es shir asher v'admas nechar. How can we sing Jewish music in Chutz Laretz? How can we sing music? How can we be happy again? Pasuk Hey thinks to the future. Because obviously at the time of the Churban, no one's going to play music. But what about next year? Next decade, next century, next millennium. So there's a shvua. Imeshkachech Yerushalayim, tishkach imini. In the context of this mizmah, the right hand would be what? The right hand would be what you use to do what? Context of this mizmah, what we saw thus far. The right hand would be what you use to play music. If I forget Yerushalayim and start playing music, I should forget how to use my right hand. Tidbak lishoni lechiki. My tongue should stick to my cheek. Tongue in cheek in this mizmah would be what? Would be singing music, right? Tidbak lishoni lechikim lo eskerechi. Already a question. Is lo eskerechi the same as eshkachech? Is it just the flip side? Is it more? Is it a greater chiddush? But the most important question comes with the third im here. We have a very neat chiastic structure. Im eshkachech Yerushalayim A. Tishkach yemini B. Tidbak lishoni lechikim B. And then back in lo eskerechi. Perfect. And then there's a third hymn. And the third hymn stands out not only structurally, but also content. Because the first hymns are saying, we're not going to play music ever again. We're not going to sing music ever again. The third hymn is, okay, we'll have simchas and we'll break a glass. How do we get from no music ever again to breaking a glass and when we're partying? This is the first most important point of the shiur. There are 5 points in the shiur. This is the first one we have to start talking about. How extreme should the way we relate to Yerushalayim be? If you look at the bottom of page 1, Marin Gittin says, they sent the following question to Mar Ukva. Zimran Menolan Da Aser. How do we know that music is Aser? When? The 9 days? The 3 weeks? When?
All the time.
He gave them on one Pasuk. The Gemara quotes another Pasuk, and the Gemara explains the reason we need two Pasukim is, if we only had one Pasuk, I would think only instrumental music is Aser. But singing music is Mutter. I would say a cappella is Mutter. That even just singing is us or when? 9 days, 3 weeks, when? All year. The Rambam explains it. Me'al Churban. Page 1 seems to say that the Churban is such a serious thing we should never have music again. Period. The reason we don't live this way is because of the Gemara on page 2. We're still within the first point here about the Avelus for the Churban. Gemara Baba Basra says, "Tanur Rabbanu Kishachar Habayis B'Shniya." And the second base mitzvah was destroyed. Rabu Prushim B'Yisrael. There were a lot of people who separated themselves from things like what? Shalolechol Basar V'Shalolishtos Yayin. Sound familiar? When? 9 days?
All year.
Nitbalen Rabbi Yeshua approached them. Amar lehem banei mipnei mayetan ochlin bas v'antem shosim yayin. Amru lo nochol basar shemimena makrivan al gavi hamizbeach ve'achshav batel. How can we have meat and wine when there's no more mizbeach with karbanos and nisach hayayin? Understandable. The next paragraph of this Gemara, Tanya, Amri Bishmol ben Elisha, Miyom shecharav beis hamikdash, dinhu shenigzer al atzmenu shelolecho basar v'lushtos yayin. It would be appropriate to make such a gzera. Third line of that paragraph. Umiyom shepashta malchus arishah shegozeres lenugzeres rose v'kashos, umivatelis minu toru mitzvos. After the Bar Kokhba rebellion got worse, they came out against Judaism. Dinu shenigzer asmenu shelolisa yishol holod banim. We shouldn't get married and have children. The Jewish people will die out. That's what would be the appropriate response. Reminds you of Mitzrayim, when Amram, the Gemara in Sota Daf Yud Beis, led the men in separating from the women. No more children. Who wants to bring children into this world in Mitzrayim? We can't live as Jews. It's an appropriate response. Why don't we live that way? Let's go back to the Gemara at the top of the page again. Right after the bold, fifth line, Amar Lehem Rabbi Yeshua, you know, responded and said, Im kein lechem lo nochel. You're right. Let's take it to its logical conclusion. Maybe we shouldn't have any bread. Shekvar batlu menachos. You'll say, Efshe beperos, you can eat fruit. Peros lo nochel. Shekvar batlu bikurim. You'll say, we can have vegetables. Chas v'sholom, right? Mayim lo nishtu. We shouldn't drink water. Shekvar batlu nisach hamayim. What was Rabbi Yeshua saying? Take this to its logical conclusion and die. Shasku, they were quiet. And this is the response that Miriam had to Amram. She said, you're worse than Paro. Paro can try and kill all the boys. You're going to make sure there's no more Jews. We have to live on. Yeshua responded, Amar Lahem, Banai, Bov, Omer Lechem, Shalol, Esavel, Kalikar, to tell you not to have Avelis at all. Efshar, Shukfar, Nigzer, Gzera. I think Nigzer, Gzera means two things. One, there's a Gzera of Avelis. Number two, there's a Gzera of the Churban. There has to be a response. But Lehis Abel, Yoser, Midai, Efshar. Shein goes from Gzera al Tzibur elin kin rov Tzibur yichol lamud bo. The Gzeras have to allow us to continue as a people. Ella, he mentions three Gzeros. A person plasters their home, completes the building of the home. The biggest project, most important thing a person builds for themselves, a home. Incomplete. You have a meal, you leave out one course. Woman gets dressed up, she leaves off one piece of jewelry. Shenamar, im eshkachech Yerushalayim tishkach yimini, tidbak lishoni l'cheichi v'gomer. What's the v'gomer? That's the Gemara picks up next line. This is the balance of Judaism. On the one hand, we ought to never be happy again. If that's what Judaism is, no one's going to want to be Jewish. Jewish people will die out. So we have to be able to be happy and live and have meat and have wine. But we have to make sure we don't forget. The 3 weeks, the 9 days, Shavuot, Chalabo, Tisha B'Av, are a chance to us to properly internalize the level of avelus we should be feeling all year round, but it's not realistic to feel it all year round. The mistake is if we think that it's a game for 9 days. This is the appropriate feeling we should be having all year. And to bring the first point together on page 3, we all know Shir HaMalos B'Shuv Hashem HaShivas Tzion, Oz Yamales Chok Pinu L'Shonein Arena, then our mouths will be full of happiness. Oz! The Gemara in Brachos Daf Lamed Aleph, Rabbi Yochanan ben Shimon Yochai, puts these two parts of the pasuk together, and he says, "Asur li adam shiyamaleis chok piv ba'olam hazeh." A person can never be fully happy in this world. Shenemer oz yamaleis chok piv. His man sheyomru b'goyim higdol Hashem lasos meila. And the Meiri says, "We're never fully happy until the Mashiach comes." And the remez is, "Im lo aleis Yerushalayim arosh simchasi." And if you understand that pasuk in context, you understand what it means. The very famous story they tell about Napoleon, which probably didn't happen, that he was conquering Russia, which did happen, and he went through a Jewish town on Tisha B'Av, which might have happened, and he heard that there were Jews sitting on the floor mourning, and he said, what are they mourning for? He said, the temple. He said, how many years ago was the temple destroyed? 1833 years ago. And he said, a nation that cries and fasts for over 2,000 years for their land and temple will surely be rewarded with their temple. He's only half right, as we'll see. He's only half right. But he's right that a powerful part of Jews retaining their identity has been the memory of the past and their ability to connect to it. And this is point number one. The most basic level of how we're supposed to relate to Yerushalayim is by appreciating the significance of the memory and the importance of what we've lost. I said 5 points, the other four are shorter. Let's continue on page 4. Remember we asked, what's the chiddush of Imlo Eskerechi? It says in Eshkochech, and then it adds on Imlo Eskerechi. You could just say it's the flip side. Let's look at the medrash on the top of page 4, which takes it a level further. It says, Heichan hu mazkir, a little Hebrew, right? Zecher means to remember, but the same shoresh also means to mention, lahazkir. The medrash learns from Imlo Eskerechi that it's not enough to have a passive memory, we have to talk about it. Anytime we have a group of brachos, we talk about Yerushalayim. In Tefillah we say Yerushalayim Yerucha Barachim Tosha. Birchas Hamazon we say Bonei Barachim Yerushalayim Amen. When we say the Haftorah we say Shever Brachas. Says the Medrash Lekach Ne'amar Lo Eskerechi. That's what's being said here. It's not enough to remember Yerushalayim. We have to talk about it. It has to be part of our conversation. The Yerushalmi in Brachas has a very powerful expression of this. Everyone knows that halacha. You're in Chutz Lartz, you face Eretz Yisrael when you daven. Eretz Yisrael, you face the Arabais. Arabais, you face the Kodesh HaKadosh. The Gemara summarizes this and says, Nimtzu kol Yisrael mispalalim el makom echad. The whole Jewish people daven towards one place. Hadu d'chsiv ki beiti beit tfilah yikarei l'chol ha'amim. Wherever we are, we all daven to the Beit HaMikdash. Get ready for the last line now. Ad kidon b'vinyano. This is true when Yerushalayim is built. B'churbanu minayim. What about when it's destroyed? Maybe we shouldn't daven there anymore. What are we davening to? It's a churban. Amar Rabbi Avun says in Shir HaShirim about Yerushalayim banui l'talpiot. It's built as on hills, talpiot, literally hills. That's why the neighborhood talpiot. Tel shekol hapios, talpios. The tel is a destroyed hill. The destroyed hill that all the mouths mispalalin, olav. What's the difference between a love and a love? A love means we dive in to it. A love means we dive in. Okay. Well, if you're in New York, you're not diving by it. It can also mean a love means you dive in for it, about it. That's the power of Yerushalayim. We dive in to it when it's built. We dive in for it when it's destroyed. And this is Gur. This appreciation of Yerushalayim expresses itself beautifully in one of the formulations of the bracha we have for Yerushalayim that appears in the Haftorah. It appears in Shever Brachas, and I think for good reason in both these places specifically. We say the bracha of Misameach Tzion Bivoneha. We describe Yerushalayim as having a mother-child relationship with the Jewish people. The source is Yeshayahu Perek Samuch. Si'i saviv einayich ri'i. Kulam nikvitzu vaulach banayach merachok yavo uvenosayach al tzate amano. We all know the kina based on the Psikta Rabasi. It says Yirmiyahu Hanavi walks out of Yerushalayim and he sees a naturally beautiful woman who's disheveled. He says, "Who are you?" And she says, "I'm Imech Tzion. I'm your mother Zion." Right? The Yerushalmi says that Ula, at the end of his life, he moved from Bavel back to Eretz Yisrael. People asked him why he's moving. He said, "You can't compare someone who dies in the arms of his mother to someone who dies in the arms of a foreign woman." The Ramban used the same argument almost 1,000 years later. And I want to tell you, this isn't just a vort. It's something real with halachic significance, and I'll tell you what I mean. World War I, the Ottoman Turks ruled over Eretz Israel. And World War I was a great excuse for them to expel the Jews. They said, anyone who can't produce a birth certificate saying that he was born in the Ottoman Empire is being kicked out of Eretz Israel, out of Palestine. Why? The excuse was, we're afraid of European spies. The real reason was, it's a great way to expel Jews. It's, you know, natural pastime. A Jew came to the chief rabbi of Eretz Yisrael at the time, Rabbi Yosef Chaim Zonnenfeld. Huge Talmud Chacham. He said, "Rebbe, I was born in Czechoslovakia. But I have the ability to forge a birth certificate which will say I was born in Jerusalem. It's a mutter. On the one hand, I get to stay in Eretz Yisrael. On the other hand, it's a lie." So Rabbi Yosef Chaim Zonnenfeld said to him, "Do you yearn to be here?" He said, "Yes." He said, "If so, it's not a lie." What's pshat? Tehillim, it says, "Ulatzion ye'omer ish ve'ish yulad ba." Regarding Tzion, it said that a person and a person is born there. The Gemara in Ksuvas asks, who's a person and a person? Two people. Amar ev meisha barbarei de Rabbi Shua ben Levi. Echod ha'nolad ba, v'echod ha'metzapi l'rosa. Two people are born in Yerushalayim. Those born there and those who yearn to see them. Because Yerushalayim is our mother, even if we were separated at birth, there's a relationship there that we can reconnect to whenever we reconnect to it. 1966, Shmuel Agnon, great Israeli poet, was awarded the Nobel Prize for Literature. And in his speech, he said the following: as a result of the historic catastrophe in which Titus of Rome destroyed Jerusalem and Israel was exiled from its land, I was born in one of the cities of the exile, but always I regarded myself as one who was born in Jerusalem. Every Jew who reconnects to their mother is born in Jerusalem. So this is point number two. One, the Avelot. Two, speaking about Yerushalayim, reconnecting with the one we care about. Before we turn to page five, I want to emphasize the word that we mentioned briefly that we're going to talk more about, point three on page five. What did the Gemara in Ksuva say? Two kinds of people are considered born in Yerushalayim. The one born there, and the one who is mitzape lirosa. What does the word mitzape mean? Anyone? Mitzape. What?
Yearn.
not enough to talk about it. We have to yearn for it. Maran Shabbos Taf Lamed Aleph tells us, may go to the next world. We're asked all kinds of difficult questions. Not simple questions like, did we keep mitzvos? But did we do things the right way? Asata v'natata be'emuna, kavati v'en l'torah, asakta v'kriya v'ir. Some are mitzvos. But it's doing things the right way. And it says, Sipita Yeshua. Did you yearn? Did you await? Did you seek redemption? The Ran says something very powerful in this Gemara. The Ran asked, I don't understand. A person who doesn't believe in Yeshua is an apikoros. It's one of the Yud Gimel Yikar. So what's like the Chiddush, Tzipita Li Yeshua? So the Ran says what it means is, Tzipita Li Yeshua Biyamecho. Did you expect it, await it, yearn for it, seek it in your time? Not to believe in the concept, to really yearn for it. And this we express, of course, in the Ani Mamin, the only one of the 13 that has an Afal Pi, because we've been waiting for a long time, based on the Pasuk in Chavakuk. The Afal Pi Shiyit Ma'amea, Im Kol Ze Achake Lo B'chol Yom Sheyavo. People mistranslate the word Achake based on modern Hebrew. Does anyone know what the translation of the word Achake means? Or Chake? Achake means I. Right? People often translate, I wait for it. That's not what it means. It means I await it. There's a difference between waiting and awaiting. And you see this from the Psiktas here, that bemoan the fact that Jews yearn for, search for, are thirsty for Torah and personal spiritual growth, but not that Hashem should return Malchus Hashem. Gemara in Erevin talks about this in a real halachic way. Gemara in Erevin says a person who makes a nether not to drink wine on the day Mashiach comes can only drink wine on Shabbos and Yom Tov. Why? Rashi says, because any other day Mashiach may come. That means if someone makes a nether tomorrow, not to eat any more of the sauce, right? It would have to be someone not Denton, because Denton would be too hard, right? You know what I'm trying to say? Once it's open, we smell it. Everyone wants a little bit, you know. The boy said, it's for everybody. It's good, no? It's good, no? So if someone made a nether not to eat their sauce tomorrow, not the day Mashiach comes, could they eat it tomorrow? Come on, is Mashiach coming tomorrow? That's where we say it in our tefillahs. Based on the pasuk of Yaakov Avinu to his children, the Shuatzcha Kivisi Hashem, we say, "Es Tzemach David Avdecha Mehiras Atzmiach." The Karno Torim Bishuasecha. Focus here. Ki Li Shuatzcha Kivinu Kol Yom. Is that what we say? Ki Li Shuatzcha Kivinu Kol Hayom. What does that mean? Kol Hayom. What does that mean? All day, not every day. All day. What things are Jews supposed to have on their minds all day? Ki li shuascha kivinu kol ha'yom. And Nusach Svard adds, umitzapim tamid lishua. So this is point number three. One, avelus, appreciating the level it should be on. Two, speaking about Yerushalayim, davening for Yerushalayim. Three, yearning. Four, page 6. There's a word in Hebrew called tfiyah, litboa. Anyone knows what it means? Litboa. It means to demand. Or to bring someone to court. There's halacha, we'll get back to the Chafetz Chaim references in this context. There's halacha that if you have someone working for you, you have to pay them at the end of the day. So din d'oraisa. On one condition. If they ask for their money, if they go home at the end of the day without asking for their money, you don't have to pay them. This concept of tefiyah is used very powerfully by Chazal to explain the plague that struck the Jewish people at the end of Sefer Shmuel. Tens of thousands of people died. Anyone remembers why there was a plague? End of Sefer Shmuel? Sorry? No, that's in Sefer Yoshua. I'm talking to boys, it's us if you to know, right? David HaMelech counted the Jews incorrectly. And Chazal were bothered by the following question. So David HaMelech should have been punished. Why do tens of thousands of people die? Because David made a mistake. So Chazal learned from how the plague stopped why the plague started. Does anyone remember how the plague stopped? David HaMelech saw an angel with his sword standing over a certain place in Yerushalayim. He bought the place and built the Mizbeach. And the plague stopped. Chazal said, if that's how the plague stopped, that must be why the plague started. The Medrash, second source on page 6, says all those who died lo naflu el al yedei shelo tavu binyan Beis HaMikdash. They died because they didn't demand the building of the Beis HaMikdash. You know, things were going well for the Jews. Everything was going well. It's okay. There were political parties. This one demanded tax reform. This one demanded be nice to immigrants. This one demanded, well, whatever. No one demanded the building of the Beis HaMikdash. That just wasn't important enough. God had to shake them up. Now get ready, third source here, for the Medrash Tehillim that gives a Kal Vachomer that's chilling. It says, all those people died because they didn't demand the building of the Beis HaMikdash. They didn't even know what the Beis HaMikdash was. It had never been built. They didn't know what they were missing. Fourth line, Anu Shecharev B'Yameinu V'Hayu B'Yameinu, but we, who know what it was? We have history. V'Einanu Misablim, and we don't care enough. V'lo Mevakshim Rachamim, Alachas Kama V'Chama, how much in trouble we are. The Yalkut Me'amloi says about this idea, Hechrechi Hadover, Shekol Yisrael Yispalalu B'Kavano Atzuma, V'Shosh Mispalalu Nashem Ki Yigalosam. It's necessary that people really daven for it. Shibali Alekid, one of the Italian Rishonim, addresses a minhag we have when we bench to take the knives off the table. You guys familiar with this minhag? Most people explain it, benching is shalom and peace, and we have a knife that makes war. Okay. Shibali Alekid quotes at the end of the piece another explanation. He says there was a guy who was benching, the knives on the table. Got up to Bonei Yerushalayim. He felt so bad that he took the knife and killed himself. That's why we take knives off the table. Now most of us laugh because we're like, okay, I don't have to worry about that. You know? I think that may be why we take the knives off the table. To show ourselves that we should have to worry about it. It should bother us so much. We should take the knives off the table. The Satmar Rebbe, bottom here, page 6 here, said, if I had known in my youth that in my old age Mashiach still had not come, I would not have physically survived due to the pain his delay would have caused me. My soul would have left me. If any of us, Chas V'Sholem, knew the Mashiach wouldn't come in our lifetime, would we be able to go on?
Probably not.
Probably not. Oh, that's what we should be. That's what we should be. And that's why Zechariah, we know he's coming, right? Yeah. And you don't have to be a Lubavitcher to believe in it either, right? And you can be a Satmar and believe in it. That's what we just saw, right? Because unfortunately, Satmar have a bad name, as if they don't love Eretz Yisrael and don't want the Gula to come. How they relate to what's going on today is a separate question. And I think this is the power of the way we say Daven for Yerushalayim, Rachem Lo. How many people here have an older sibling? How many of you are an older sibling? I don't know if they still do this thing. When I was a kid, you have this thing. Do you mind if I use you as Exhibit A? Your older brother would take your arm, put it behind your back, and go up. I'm not going to actually do that, right? When would he stop? You have an older brother? So you know what I'm talking about, right? When would he stop? What would you have to say?
Mercy.
Mercy, right? Now, not just saying mercy, that's not enough. You have to, right? You know what I'm saying? You're going to have to really need mercy. Now, how vindictive your older brother is, measured by how high, what level of shrieking he'll stop by. When we say to Hashem, Rachim Na Yisrael Amechem, do we need mercy? God's not going to stop because we just say mercy, 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 right? We got to need it. Do we need it? On Tisha B'Av, we change it to Nachem, console us, we're Avelim. Do we feel Avelim? For most of us, Yerushalayim, it's not the icing on the cake. It's the writing on the icing of the cake. I don't need that. When you have a Carvel ice cream, I'm not talking about friendlies. I'm talking about Carvel, mamish. Twice the price. Carvel. Tom Carvel. Amish. And I'm not talking about a regular ice cream cake. I'm talking about the one with the crunchies in the middle. Not a little crunchies. A whole layer of crunchies. Super crunchies, okay? You have an ice cream cake like that, it's got the icing thing going. It's not too hard, not too soft. You know what I'm saying? You get it at the right moment. But you can eat it like ice cream, but it's not melted. You get that on the plate and it's already, you know, the shirayim around the thing, you know you're too late. Okay, you can cut it with a knife, a plastic knife, an easy cut, it's ready to be eaten. You got one of those ice cream cakes. You don't care whose name is written on it. You don't need a piece of little red stuff on top. That's Yerushalayim for us. The little writing on top. Maybe. And that's why Hashem doesn't return it. We're not Tovea. If we look at page 7, Rav Simcha Bunim Mipshischa, you like to quote Chassidus here? Get ready. Get ready for real Chassidus. Not just Neo, this is the real deal. Rav Simcha Bunim gives a mashal of Melech who has an only son, and the son rebels against his father. The father kicks him out of the palace. Kid goes off, becomes a bum, whatever. And years later, the melech misses his son. He says to his minister, can you bring him back? He says, look, I don't know where he is. I don't know what his matzav is. I don't know if I can bring him back. He says, do me a favor. Look into it. See if you can find him, if it's salvageable. So the minister goes off. He finds the guy way, way off in a foreign land. He's a drunken, homeless bum. The minister starts talking to him. He goes, tell me, do you remember who you are? He says, sure, I'm the son of the king. He says, good, I'm happy to see you remember. Let me ask you a question. If you could ask your father for one thing, your father the king, what would you ask him for? The kid thinks a little while. He goes, I need a new pair of socks. If I could ask the king for one thing, it would be a new pair of socks. The minister turns to him and says, you fool. Your father's the king. He can do whatever he wants. I told you, you can ask for one thing. Ask him to take you back to the palace. You'll have all the socks you need. And much more than that. And Simcha Bonim writes in the end, in bold, Kein Am Yisrael Begolus Amar Bavon Asenu HaRabim Tzoakim Kol Yom Havlonu Bonai Havlonu Mizone Uviyomim Hanaroi Mispalim Rakal Advar Magashmim Mutav Hayo Lahem Laam Yisraelim Hayu Tzoakim Al Golus Hashchina Yisgada Vyisgada Shmei Rabba Vyoz Memela Hashem Yitbaruch Barach Vyoyin Atein Lenu Kol Atzduch Hasein Bechetzda Barachamim. The beginning of Shemoneh Esrei, if people have Kavona, maybe if they have Hatuchan Lam Das, I have a test today, Rifeinu, I know someone was sick. The end of Shemoneh Esrei, Semach David, Ritzei Hashem, Lekrei Amcha Yisrael, Yerushalayim, Yerucha, Valam, Alshinim, right, the Hoshiva Shoftein, who thinks about those things? We lost the sight of the big picture, of the big things. Rav Nachum of Chernobyl once came to an inn in a village. At Chatzos, he got up and said, Tikkun Chatzos. He sat on the ground and wept and cried over the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. He was so loud that the owner of the inn got up as well. The owner asked him what he was doing, and he told him that he was davening to Hashem that the Melech HaMashiach should come quickly. When the Jew just sat staring at him with a blank look, the Rebbe said to him, don't you want Mashiach to come and for all of us to go to Yerushalayim? He answered him, I don't know, I have to ask my wife. He came back and said, my wife said we can't abandon our ducks, we're not interested. The Rebbe said, what about when the Cossacks steal your ducks and all your possessions? He went back and asked his wife, and she said, okay, daven for Mashiach that he should come and take the Cossacks to Yerushalayim. Sometimes we forget what to daven for. Chofetz Chaim wrote, Kama pamim bayom anu mevakshim ala geula. Ulam habakasha bilvadei namaspeket. How many times a day do we daven for the geula? Asking alone isn't enough. Yesh litboa et geula. We have the right and the responsibility to demand it. Kipol sachir amevakesh ischaro, like a worker asking for what's due to him. She'adin hu she'imenu tovea, ein chayv latet itzcharo b'avayom. If you don't demand, you don't have to give. Kainan utzvichim litboat gulasein. This is the Chofetz Chaim, not the Chabad Rebbe. Speaking of whom, the Rebbe wrote, Hadavar hayachid shema'akiv adayin esavu'ula, hu hatzorech shekol b'nei Yisrael yivakshu v'yidrushu v'yitbu. Where does it come from? The Medrash. They were all killed. So we saw 4 points, and now we'll have the fifth point. Let's first summarize. One, Avelis. Appreciating the significance of having lost the Beis HaMikdash. Two, Izkur, davening for. Three, Sipia, yearning, wanting, needing. Four, what's four? Tfiyah. Demanding. All these, I'm using these terms because they're the terms that Sukkim used, that Chazal used. The last point I want to talk about is based on a pasuk we all know the song for. Ata takum terachem tzion. Ki eit lechenena kiva moed. Think to yourselves how many hundreds of times you've sung this pasuk. Because anytime you sing the song Ata takum, you're singing it like, you know, many times. It's a little bit presumptuous. We say to Hashem, get up, have mercy on us, because the time has come. What, do we have them free? So we have the right to say the time has come? Chutzpah. I think the answer is the key last phrase. There are three keys here. Ki et lechenena, ki vamoe, ki ratzu avadecho ez avaneh ez afarichoneinu. It's a shame it's not part of the song. Because we've shown our love and our care for the stones and dirt. The Gemara in Ksuvos, based on this pasuk, says the Amoraim would kiss the stones of Eretz Yisrael, they would roll in the dirt. If you love something, if you miss something, you love whatever you have left. You love whatever you can love of it. And Jews throughout the generations, anything they could get from Eretz Yisrael, they loved. A piece of dry, disgusting fruit. Eretz Yisrael. And Kuzari writes that the Geula will come when people genuinely love Eretz Yisrael, Yerushalayim, and whatever they have of it. He writes the whole piece here in Maimer Hey, Os Chavzayim. Let's read the last couple of lines. It's also Meres, Yerushalayim Loti Bonem. Kiim Kasher Yishtokaku Eileha Bnei Yisrael. Tachlis Chuka. The utmost level of desire. Adasher Yechonenu Esavonaya Vesafara. Until they love its dirt and stones. There's a higher level of this. Kuzari, for those who don't know, it's a sefer. It talks about a king who brought a rabbi, a priest, and an imam in to ask about religion. It's not a joke. It sounds like a joke. And the rabbi convinced him that Judaism was right. After the rabbi convinced him, the king turns to him and says, "Him king, halo atver atah al mitzvah hamechayev shlavi torascha im eincha ole al makom ahu veincha oseh obeis chayecho mosecho ki atah omer rachem al tzion ki beis chayenu." You say, "Have mercy on Tzion, it's beis chayenu," but you don't go there. Kuzari responded and wrote, "Achein matzata os chavtalid makom cherpasi melech Kuzar." You got my point of embarrassment. Ki amnam chet zehu asher biglalo lo niskayim hayiud asher yir helukal bayis sheni. It's because of this sin that bayis sheni didn't become what it was meant to become. Ki ainyan eloki, because God's relationship with us was going to return in bayis sheni like in bayis rishon, but the Jews didn't return. They didn't want to leave their palaces and their businesses. On top of page 9, Kuzari continues and he says, God's relationship with us, Hayinyana Eloki, Eino Chal Al Adam Kiim Lufi Achanas Adam. God is a mirror that reflects our interest in Him. The source for this Kuzari is a stinging Gemara in Yom Adavtes. The Gemara that says, Reish Lakish, the Eretz Yisrael Amora, was once swimming in the Jordan River. Rabba Bar Bar Chana, the great Babylonian Amora, came, Yav Layada, he offered him his hand to help him out of the water. Amr Lei Reish Lakish said, "No, thank you. Elos Ninochu. God hates you. I don't want to take your hand." That's a strong word to say to a rabbi. "God hates you," he said to him, "because you Babylonians didn't return by Yisheni and you blew it." I think Rashi is bothered. Okay, so they blew it. Why does Hashem hate him for blowing it? So Rashi says, "Sninu l'chol l'chol b'nei Babel shalom al b'nei Ezra. Umanu shchina milavo lashuv lishos b'vay Yisheni." And by not returning, they kept the Shekhinah from returning. You know how we know that we'll turn to Eretz Yisrael? Because Hashem's galus. Shekhinah begalusa. Like the Gemara says, right? The Shekhinah went with us. Galus Shekhinah yimahem. The Gemara Megillah daf lamed beis. God can't return until we return. Whereas we said in the end of last week's parsha, you can't let murderers roam free because it's metame Eretz Yisrael, pasuk lamed dalid. But the Tatami Asa'ara Tasharatam Yoshvin, but don't be Matami the land you live in. Asherani Shochain B'tochah, that I live in. Kiani Hashem Shochain B'toch B'nei Yisrael. Because I live amongst you. Very powerful. Or Chaim talks about this. People can look at this later. Kuzari comes back around, top of page 9, and he says, if we don't choose to return, and the Kuzari is in the Middle Ages when it wasn't Pasha, it wasn't El Al. Right? Says Achshav Sheina Davarken. Now that it isn't so, we don't return. Ein Hadvarim Shanu Omrim B'Tfilasenu. The words we say when we daven: Hishtachavu L'Har Kodesh, Hishtachavu L'Adom Raglov, Hamachzir Shchinas Letzion. I'm back at the top of page 9, the last paragraph. All these words we say are Kedibur Hatuki. It's like a parrot. We don't really mean it. Ketiftuf Azarzir. We're just tweeting. Ki Belo Kavanus Halevanu Omrim Dvarim Elu Adomayim. We don't really mean it. Right, the Mishnah Berurah wrote in the beginning, it's Achar Kavanas Halev. Kuzari wrote this when it was hard. Kuzari returned to Eretz Yisrael, views on it. And it's because of the people who returned then that the people returning now, it's so much easier now. If you love and desire a place, you want to do whatever you can to be there. It's so much easier today. How much of a consciousness do we have of Eretz Yisrael? How many people here have learned in Eretz Yisrael for a year? When you return from Eretz Yisrael to Chutz Laretz, there's two challenges. One, you're in a different environment of people and interests. But two, you're in a different world. People can forget Eretz Yisrael. You hear the news about Eretz Yisrael here, it's like something very far away. There's a red alert, you know, okay, yes, nope, Eretz Yisrael. A person has to retain Eretz Yisrael consciousness. About 20 years ago, my wife and I went to Theresienstadt. Theresienstadt is a village about an hour away from Prague in the Czech Republic. In World War II, the Nazis turned it into a halfway house for concentration camps. They took the Jews of Czechoslovakia, other places, Anne Frank was taken to there, and they allowed them to do a little art, music, etc., and they shipped them off to the concentration camps. They brought the Red Cross in there, they made films, Kilo, that were being nice to the Jews. So we went to visit, now it's a village again, Goyish village. And they have the art that the Jews made there on display. So we're looking at it, nothing Jewish, because the Jews had been assimilated there in the Czech Republic. But, you know, flowers, whatever, okay. I saw one picture that caught my eye. It was a picture of a door opened into a chutzner with a bunch of chairs around it. It's the kind of thing, it's clear that someone's painting a picture, a real thing, but you don't know what it is. I found out the answer later in the day. Later in the day, I was walking in the street with my yarmulke on. A person come up to me, he says, come with me, I want to show you something. We walked through the alleys, blah, blah, blah. It had just been opened, you know, the Soviet Union was falling, interesting glass. It just people, Jews just started to visit there. He takes me into this little storeroom, 2x3. Mamish, 2 feet by 3 feet. I see boxes are piled up at the storeroom. And behind the boxes, I see white plaster with some letters on it. He says, help me take the boxes out. So we take the boxes out, and I see on this white plaster, it's written, Uvechol zos shimcha lo shechachnu, no al tishkochenu. Through it all, we haven't forgotten you, don't forget us. And I see the white plaster continues on to the next wall. So I say to the guy, can we take these boxes also? So we take out the other boxes. And on that wall, which faced the east, it said, "V'techazena einenu b'shuvcha l'tzion v'rachmi." And so you couldn't fit more than 4 or 5 chairs in this room. So I think it was a clandestine shul that they had the door open into the chutzner and people were diving around in chairs. And I thought to myself, why is it that people find it easier to believe and yearn when they have nothing around them that gives them reason to believe? And we who have so much reason to believe. So I'm not saying everyone has a chiv to make aliyah. I'm not saying that. Maybe you do, maybe you don't. I don't know, you ask Jordan Cohen, I'll tell you. Okay. But what I am saying is that if we truly yearn for Yerushalayim, we should be thinking about loving it, appreciating it, and taking advantage of it. Rav Kook writes in the bottom of page 9, Hatzipiyah kolelet gam simat ayin tadirit. Tzipiyah, yearning. Okay, it's just boys here, so I can talk amongst friends, right? Let's say you have a crush on a girl. It's mutter, right? Is it still called halachically approved shidduch camp? But I mean, no, okay. It's mutter! You have to earn tzoros, you get married. Nothing to be embarrassed about. It's very important. No, it's important, you get married. Okay. If you have a crush on a girl, you like her. Okay. So what are you going to do? You're going to wait for the ghoulas to come? Someone will come? No way! You're going to look for an angle, right? On the days off, the boys and girls go together? It's a second. I don't know what the angles are in half. I don't know what the angles are in half, but there got to be angles. You're going to try and figure out. The end of the barbecue, the beginning of, I don't know all the chalices, but you guys know the chalices. If you want something, you're not going to wait for the gula to come. Rav Kook says, Sipita the Yeshua means you have your eye on it. You're thinking about what I can do to facilitate it. Fourth line, Achova lasos mashadarish lasos letovata matzav kein yizari is leitan achon below yichur regavizman. You're going to want to bring it. You're going to want to bring it on. You're going to want to figure out what piece can I do to make this happen. Real, not charades. That's what the 9 days mean. Not to, you know, go through the motions for 6 days and make believe we really care about it so we can, you know, finish afterwards. One of the camps I went to, Shivish camp, come on Yud Av, from the morning they would announce on the microphone, 4 hours to Simcha control. An hour later, 3 hours to Simcha control. 1 minute to Simcha control. At Simcha control, all the counts would run down to the pool, jump over the gate and jump in the pool with their clothes on and start making, you know, screaming, yelling, having a good time. It took me years to realize, is there anything to celebrate at Chatzos and Yud Av? We stop mourning because we can't mourn all year. I mean, you know, we got to move on. You shouldn't celebrate Yud Av. I think it's wrong people have like a concert at Chatzos and Yud Av. We got to go back. These are things worth reflecting on. What our relationship is with Yerushalayim and the Churban in a real way, as opposed to just slogans. So those are some points. I'm done talking about this. Anyone who wants to ask questions about this or anything else, because I tell you sometimes I should do questions and answers. It's late, it's not late, it's early, it's late, but people should eat food.